Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Adani Enterprises Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ankita Shah from Elara Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Shah.
Thanks, Nirav. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this 1Q FY23 earnings conference call of Adani Enterprises Limited. We have with us today from the management team, Mr. Vinay Prakash, Director, Adani Enterprises and CEO, Natural Resources. Mr. Robbie Singh, CFO, Adani Enterprises. Mr. Saurabh Shah, Finance Controller, and Mr. Manan Vakharia from Investor Relations team. Good morning, sirs, and we will start with opening remarks and post which we will have a question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Hi, good morning, all. This is Robbie Singh, CFO of Adani Enterprises. I welcome you all to the earnings call to discuss quarter one financial year 2023 results. AEL continues to create value for its shareholders as a successful incubator for the past two and a half decades. This incubation model has created leaders in the respective sectors like Adani Ports, Adani Transmission, Adani Green Energy, Adani Total Gas, and Adani Wilmar, and has delivered returns at a compound annual growth rate of 36% to shareholders. AEL holds a portfolio of businesses, both established and incubating, which are spread across different verticals in energy and utility, transport and logistics, direct to consumer, and primary industries. Within primary industries, it has established businesses of mining services and integrated resource management, along with the developing vertical of metals. As our established businesses continue to sustain long-term growth, we are making significant progress in our attractive incubation pipeline comprising of energy and utility, which is Adani New Industries, which is green hydrogen ecosystem, and a full service data center business, Adani Connects. In the transport and logistics, we have Adani Airport Holdings and Adani Road Transport Limited, businesses which will further accelerate value creation for Adani Enterprises shareholders. We are happy to inform that AEL has completed primary equity transaction for rupees 7,700 crore with Abu Dhabi-based International Holding Company for 3.5% stake. This validates our strong capital management philosophy of equity-funded growth and a conservative leverage targets. Let me give you a quick update of our incubating businesses. In Adani New Industries portfolio, as all of you would know, we have announced investment of $50 billion over the next decade in developing green hydrogen ecosystem. This will be housed under Adani New Industries Limited. ANIL will have three business streams: manufacturing ecosystem to include module, cell, ingots, wafers, and wind turbines, electrolyzers, and associated ancillary equipment ecosystem. There will be green hydrogen generation, including the development of solar and wind power plants to produce green hydrogen. Downstream products, depending on the use cases for ammonia, urea, methanol, et cetera. During the quarter, we announced our partnership with TotalEnergies to develop the world's largest green H2 hydrogen ecosystem. TotalEnergies will acquire 25% stake in ANIL. While the transaction will follow customary approval processes, it takes the company one step ahead to produce the world's least expensive electron, which will drive our ability to produce the world's least expensive green hydrogen. Following are some of the updates on this development. Existing capacity of 1.5 GW Mundra is increasing to 3.5, and the additional 2 GW will be completed by September this year. With this, the overall capacity will reach 3.5 GW. Wind turbine erection for the first 5.2 megawatt wind turbine has been completed and testing and certification is underway. We expect completion in the next 6 months. We have identified 3 trial sites for the initial testing of electrolyzers, and we expect the testing to commence end of this year, calendar year, or early next year. From an operational point of view, module sales from our manufacturing ecosystem within ANIL stood at 260 megawatt. EBITDA from these sales was at 42 crores. Adani Airport Holding. In Adani Airport Holding, passenger movement at the airport increased by 35% and is now at 16.6 million, which is approximately 85% of the pre-COVID numbers. Construction at Navi Mumbai International Airport has started and approximately 26% of the work is completed. In Adani Road Transport Portfolio, we have signed concession agreement in May for Kagal-Satara Road project of 65 kilometers in Maharashtra under a BOT basis. We also have provisional COD for Bilaspur Road project, and construction activity is progressing well on other 8 road projects. The current road portfolio is now approximately rupees 38,000 crore of both operating and under development projects. A quick update of primary industries before I hand over to my colleague Vinay. We achieved financial close for our first metals business, copper. This was led by SBI and it has been further downsold to various other banks. Financial performance of AEL for this quarter has increased in terms of revenue numbers, has increased 223% and now is at 41,066 crore. Consolidated EBITDA increased by over 100% and is at 1,965 crore with strong performance from both established and incubating businesses. Now I invite my colleague Vinay to take you through mining services and IRM business highlights. Vinay, over to you.
Thanks, Ravi. Good morning to all. As for the mining services business is concerned, Adani Enterprise Limited is the pioneer of MDO concept in India. This is an integrated business model that spans across developing mines as well as the entire upstream and downstream activities. It provides the full service range, right from seeking various approvals, land acquisition, R&R, developing required infrastructure, mining, beneficiation, and transportation to designated consumption plant, which is some of the positions. The company is also MDO for 9 coal blocks and 2 iron ore blocks with combined peak capacity of 120 million metric ton per annum. These 11 projects are located in the state of Chhattisgarh, MP and Odisha. The mining production volume increased by 72% to 8.1 million metric ton on year basis, and the further dispatch increased by 58% to 7.2 million metric ton on year basis. The revenue for mining business, mining services increased by 18% to rupees 677 crores and EBITDA stood at rupees 268 crores versus 307 crores on year-on basis on account of high operating cost. As Robbie told about copper business, apart from financial closure, projects are progressing well and it is as per schedule. Additionally, we have also received PLI scheme approval for copper tube value-added stream for our copper business. As far as the iron business is concerned, in terms of iron business, we have continued to develop business relationship and diversified customer across various end user industries. We retain number one player position in India and having the endeavor to maintain this leadership position going forward. The volume in quarter one FY23 increased by 52% to 26.7 million metric ton. The EBITDA has increased by 72% to rupees 950 crores on account of higher volumes. Thank you.
With this, we open to Q&A.
Thank you very much. We now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. And congratulations on achieving and success in number of initiatives and especially raising money. So my first question is on the mining operations. Given that you achieved 8.1 million ton, so our profitability EBITDA isn't improving. It's happening Q4 also and in this quarter also. How do you expect this EBITDA ramp up to happen? I understand that we opened around 55 million ton of capacity. When do you expect this peak capacity to be to achieve?
Yeah, good question. In fact, as I told last time also, in PKV mine, considering that we are getting a higher cost because of the diesel explosive and the strip ratio, our EBITDA has gone down slightly, and we are working on various other technology initiatives to see as how we can recover it back. In fact, in this volume, the volume of Talabira and other mines have also included, where we have a lower revenue because of having a lower strip ratio. And considering that the cost, the revenue, the mining cost per ton is lower, and definitely the EBITDA per ton is also lower in those mines. As far as the increase of volumes are concerned, we are working on both the sides, trying to see if we can have alternate fuels to be used apart from going for the electric equipments and some technology changes. We are confident that we will be in position to increase the EBITDA level going further.
And so the new mines which are under development, which are the next mines you are likely to open in the next 24 months?
So we have few mines which should get open in the next 24 months. Like Parsa is ready to get open, subject to certain local approvals. We should open that mine soon. We have Suleri mine which is now going to go for its peak capacity. We have Talabira mine, which did 7 million ton last year, should do 12 million ton this year, and going forward should reach to its peak capacity, which is 20 million ton. We have other commercial mines like Dhiroli and Bijan, which should also come on board.
Understood, sir. And sir, is it possible to break up the IRM operations into Carmichael and pure trading business? Is it possible? Are you sharing that number? In case you are sharing, please share the revenue and a bit dumb number for Carmichael.
I think this IRM business is independent of Carmichael business. Mr. Saurav will like to comment here. But this IRM is excluding of Carmichael.
So this number of IRM is basically only the trading business, not the Carmichael commercial mine business.
Understood. But can you just share the revenue and a bit of Carmichael? Is it possible?
Yeah. So just to give an idea that we have done 1 million metric tons of sales in Carmichael mine this quarter with a revenue and the EBITDA of about 85 crores is what we had.
Understood. Thirdly, on the new energy businesses, have you received the LOA for the entire capacity, in the sense you're participating in the PA? So have you received the LOA from the government? And when do you expect this integrated capacity to commission? And on the expansion of 1.5 to 3.5 gigawatt, are we looking, given that the ramp up is very fast, How do you see the traction on the market for our for the capacity?
Which question you are asking?
Okay, so let me just break it up. First, on the LOA side, the government has, I think we are participating in the PLI scheme, and we were one of the winners of that, you know. So have we received the LOA from the government?
Yeah.
Hello?
No, that is continuing. And it's not, see, I just want you to focus not on, we are not doing this business for PLI schemes.
Understood.
So I think we should keep the focus on the fact that Adani New Industry is setting up hydrogen, green hydrogen ecosystem. Now, the PLI schemes happen would be wonderful because that is part of the Atmanirbhar program of the government and it will benefit us. But independent of that, it is a specific opportunity for India to finally have an energy source that is domestic. And therefore, it has its own economic merits. I think that if you can kindly frame the questions in relation
to
that manner, it is much, much better.
Oh, understood, sir. So my question is then, of course, we are doing the first ramp up from 1.5 to 3.5 gigawatt. What is the next in the solar manufacturing business and what duration you think you will do the third expansion?
No. So basically, the ramp up of the business is related to what are final targets to achieve the cheapest electron for production of green hydrogen. So we will have in phase one a capacity of 10 gigawatts from all the way from polysilicon to ingot wafer and cell and module line. We will also have initial capacity of 2.5 gigawatt of wind turbines, which will also scale up to 10. And we will also have capacity for electrolyzers, similar. And plus the glass, aluminium frames, and backsheet. So this whole ecosystem is to provide inputs into the production of cheapest electron, so that we can convert that to the cheapest hydrogen. So the scale-up will be related to how we are developing, and we expect the first production of hydrogen to commence late calendar to year 2025 or first half of calendar year 20, for first quarter of calendar year 2026. So that's where that's the ramp-up schedules that we are working towards.
Understood.
The polysilicon foundry itself will be full 10 gigawatt to start off because that's the minimum scale at which it's economic.
And for the timeline for the polysilicon, sir, any tentative timeline?
30 months over that period, around that period.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Best of luck, sir. I'll go back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Apurva Bhadra from Investec. Please go ahead.
Okay, hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Wanted to know if we have finalized the electrolyzer technology partnership.
No, we are working on that. We are currently... As I mentioned, we are currently in the process of starting the testing program for electrolyzers. And parallel to that, we are continuing to work on partnerships. But it's a dual track process, both partnerships and indigenous capacity.
So we are confident that our factory will be up and running and start producing electrolyzers so that we can start producing hydrogen by N25.
Oh, yes.
Those timelines are comfortable. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Fair enough. So also on the wind capacity side, can you guide by when this 2.5 gigawatt capacity be commercial? And also, will we be selling the turbines in to third parties in the commercial market, or will it entirely be for our captive consumption?
It mostly initially will be for captive consumption. So we have commissioned or erected the first 5.2 megawatt wind turbine, and we expect the it requires a certification process. We expect the certification process to complete in the next 6 months, and from there onwards, by that time we will ramp up the production capacity, and we will be ready to produce 2.5 gigawatt.
Right, sir. And the last question from my side, and that is on the power storage front. So I believe for producing hydrogen using alkaline tech, which we will be going for initially, we require sort of a longer duration power available, more reliable power. So what's our take on that? Which technology or which method of storage will be backing? Will it be from hydros or batteries? And in either cases, if you have already done some tie-ups?
No, that is the configurations we are testing. So we are going through as to what and how the configuration of best operating configuration works to give the cheapest hydrogen given a power input profile. And so therefore we are going to be testing the electrolyzer purely at a wind power site, purely at a solar site, and a hybrid wind and solar site. So we will complete that parallelly to then come up with the best design configuration under which the optimal hydrogen can be produced at an optimal cost. So that we are in the process of doing. So I once it is done, we'll continue to disclose it to the market as to how we are going. But that at this stage in phase one of the analysis it does not rely on batteries or storage.
Okay. Sir, last question, if I may squeeze in one more. And this is, I believe we intend to move hydrogen from Khavda to Mundra using a pipeline.
Correct.
So have we started the construction of it, and what type of capital cost can we expect?
The pipeline is not a big cost. Pipeline is a very, very small cost of the overall project. But the right of way and all that analysis has been completed, and it's only about 200 kilometers, so it's not a very long pipeline. So we expect that to be ready and complete. It's not a gating item.
No specialized materials needed to transport hydrogen, so that's what we have read.
No, they're specialized materials, but they're all available.
Okay, fair enough, sir. Thank you very much, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Bansal from ESK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Robbie, I wanted to understand what would be the capital requirements across our various businesses over the next few years, especially on the equity side.
So from an equity point of view, you know, for the time being, we are fully funded. With that, we did already in advance, we did that equity issuance. We might do a small, from time to time, we might look at appropriately funding various businesses, but the bulk, we completed that in May with the IHC 7,700 crore. And overall, from a CapEx perspective, just pure CapEx perspective, we expect the CapEx commitments over the next 2 years to be in the order for AEL to be in the order of, you know, give or take about 85,000 crores, and including revenue plus EPC margin plus internal cash flows and already funded equity, that is fully covered in our current planning. So we don't anticipate any new equity for the already identified projects.
Sure. So this 85,000 crores, if I understand correctly, is 24 and 25, or FY23 and 24?
No, it's 23 and 24. But of this 85, approximately like about close to 8,000 crores which we have already spent on our manufacturing ecosystem. It's already spent. It will just be completed this year, part of it. So we don't need to from an outlay perspective, it is completing in FY23. Just to break up for you so that you see that airports will be about 11,000 crores this year. Roads will be around 8,900. We will have in the copper about 2,900. Data center small amount, about 300 odd crores. And in our other materials businesses, around 4,400 crores. And that will be 37,000 odd crores, of which 9, as I mentioned, approximately 8,500 already spent in the previous years, completing this year. And the following year in 2024, we expect to have another 48,000 odd crores of capex.
Sure. Thanks for that. Now, on the airports business side, if you can help us understand some of your plans, because now it's been a few months since we've taken over the Bombay airport as well, and Navi Mumbai construction has also started. So, how should we think about the trajectory for revenues as well as EBITDA over the next few years?
See, the best way to explain the airport business is that we look at airports as hyper-localized community economic assets, which is that primarily the airport is an economic center for its regional area in which it is, be it Jaipur, be it Ahmedabad, be it Lucknow, Navi Mumbai, Mumbai. So we have a plan which we call the city side planning, and the city side planning is purely catering to its local community. So that's one. Second is the related to passenger activity and associated activities, which is related to aero and non-aero income at the airport. So there are three income streams: the city economic area activity and the passenger aero and non-aero activity. So we expect to complete our first phase of our city side, which is non-passenger related, but city side developments by first phase of it should be completed by 2026 and fully completed by 2030 across our 8 airport sites. We don't want to, because it's so far out, and those are the numbers not formally presented in terms of because of the period of which they're forecast. Overall, the way the structure would work is that the city side developments should give us, or local economic area should give us about 55 to 60% of our EBITDA, and aero, non-aero should give us the other 40%. Of the EBITDA of the business. So I would not, till we formally start reporting on Adani Airport Holdings as a business unit, which we will shortly, I don't want to hazard verified, say, forecast for the airport business per se. This year, though, airports achieved, just to give you a passenger movement of about 16.6 million this quarter, and a cargo of about 2.3 lakh metric tons. And broadly, we achieved the EBITDA of about, in the...
So 540 crores every time has been achieved.
So approximately 540 odd crores of EBITDA. That we achieved for the airport business this quarter, but this is without any income coming yet from the city side economic developments, which will commence about 3 years from now.
Sure. Sure. And just one clarification, when you talk about city side development, does this include the real estate monetization at the Bombay airport as well, or that is excluding that?
No, no, see, there is no, like, conceptually, you know, we don't look at this real estate monetization. There is no monetization of real estate. It is actually what you are building for the local community and how the local community spends within the airport precinct. So it's not specifically like, you know, trying to monetize the land and undertake that kind of activity. It is more related to what is needed in the specific local community. You build facilities for that community, and then you are earning income from that built capacity. So it will depend on city by city. It's more of a consumer-centric model rather than a model that is related to monetization of land, etc.
Sure, Robbie. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity once again, sir. Sir, my few clarifications. Do you have access to all the 140-acre land in the Mumbai Airport?
If by access you mean that do we have access? Yes, of course we have access
is completely with us, or is there something which is still to be, you know, transferred to us for the development we want to do on the lands?
Majority of it is with us, yeah.
So my second question is on the profitability of the solar business. I think this quarter it was impacted adversely. I believe this is primarily because of movement in polysilicon prices. How do you see over the next couple of quarters, and given the fact that you're going to ramp up, do you think this the profitability, when we will go back to the older level of profitability?
No, see, the solar business is not a business that we look at in isolation. We look at it as an integrated part of the green hydrogen ecosystem. Okay, so there's no specific target that we want to achieve for the solar business. We want to achieve the target for green hydrogen per kg.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the metric that we are focused on.
Okay. So, But are you saying that this 2.5 gigawatt entirely will be sold for the captive requirements? Is that
mostly right? Yes.
Okay, understood, sir. And sir, there is one request. Sir, we used to share our debt breakup, you know, earlier in our presentation. Just talk sharing if you can.
Sorry to interrupt, your voice is coming a little garbled.
Is it audible now?
Yes.
So my request is to share the debt breakup which we used to do earlier, business-wise, sir. It used to be very helpful.
If we still do it, it will be available in September results.
Sure.
It's available twice a year, September and March.
Okay, sir. Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question.
Nirav, if there are no further questions, we can close the call.
So we have one question in the queue. The next question is from the line of Nirav Shah. Yep. Next question is from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. Most of them have been answered. On the MDO front, so we have given a guidance of around 40 million tons in this year and around 75 odd tons next year. So can you just update on that, whether are we maintaining it or upping it?
So we are maintaining this 40 million ton for this year, and for the next year 65 to 75 million ton, depending upon the timing of various approvals.
Perfect. Great, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So firstly, thank you so much for organizing. Thank you for the investor set and the team to ask questions. Also, thanking Saurav, Manan, and team, and my colleague Vinay for this call. So we take the opportunity to see you again in October.
Thanks, thanks Ankita from Ilara to organize this, and thank you so much. We look forward to a similar set of organization in the next coming quarters.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Thanks.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Ilara Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.